Good morning. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our faith unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my iniquities unto you. O Almighty God, merciful Father, upon this short confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Great are the works of the Lord. Full of splendor and majesty is His work. He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. He provides food for those who fear Him. He sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Wisdom has built her house, she has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, The epistle lesson for this morning is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of life is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with Jesus. So Jesus said to the 12, Do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I
believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all the world, the God of God, the light of life, very God and very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." We are saved by grace through faith. Our justification comes through the work of Christ and in no other way. These are the words that Jesus is really speaking to the people at the synagogue. He has been in discourse with the Jews for some time, talking about where he came from, and they question that, claiming to come from heaven. "We know your mother and father. We know your brothers and sisters. How can you say you come from heaven?" He talked to them about the manna that came from heaven that their ancestors ate in the wilderness. And he talks about himself also as being the bread that comes down from heaven. But he also makes a distinction. The bread that came down for Moses and the people fed them and kept them alive physically. But this bread that comes down from heaven will give you eternal life. Jesus talks about how we come to receive that blessing. And it comes through God's Word. The Word of the Father passed down through the ages. The Word that came to prophets and others. That Word which was written down so that people who heard it would believe and not doubt. But the truth is, and we know this well, that there are enemies of the gospel. There are enemies of the Word of God. There are those who don't even want a God, and they will tell you they do not believe in God or a God. They believe that everything happened by chance, that human life is an accident, but a good one, and we must do everything we can to preserve human life, even to the point of going to the stars and colonizing other planets. That would be their solution, in a sense, to everlasting life. Not individually, but the collective, humankind, spreading out into the universe. That is their idea. So they would have nothing to do with the gospel. They would have nothing to do with the Word of God. Indeed, they would lead others away from that Word which does give eternal life individually as well as collectively, that is, all of humankind. For Jesus, when he came into the world, did not come to die for one set of people or one group, but for the whole world. When he shed his blood on the cross, it was for every single person. No one was left out of that redemption that took place 2,000 years ago. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it was finished. He accomplished the work he came to do. Now he's telling these listeners of his some hard things for them to believe. I used to think it was hard for them to believe that one had to eat the body and blood of Christ in order to live. That is, eternally. How can he give us his body to eat, they ask. But Jesus takes it a bit further than just eating his body. "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you can have no part in me." Those are hard words. I grant that. But I think there was something even harder, because what he was talking about, everything he was saying, was talking about your salvation isn't based on you. The spirit is everything. The flesh is nothing. When the spirit comes, and the spirit comes through the word of God, life is created. Where the flesh is incapable of doing that very thing because of sin. The flesh is nothing. It'll never get you to heaven. But the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. The Holy Spirit calls us and gathers us into His church. We are made His people. And this is God's doing. This is the Father's doing, Jesus says. John writes for us that Jesus knew those who would not believe among disciples. Because they were saying to Jesus, disciples, now not just those who wanted to detract from Jesus and from the words He spoke, to call Him a blasphemer if they could find the opportunity, but disciples were having a hard time with these words. And John writes for us, but Jesus already knew those who would fall away, in a sense, would not believe. And at this point, John even makes that comment about Judas. Even he knew at that time who would betray Him. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus knows these things because He is divine besides being flesh and blood. Besides being weak out of His own will in order that He could die. He needed everything you and I need, and yet He stayed faithful because there was no sin in Him. But we can't say the same thing for us. In order for us to be saved, we need an outside force, if you will. We need an outside instigator. We need an outside catalyst. We need something that is beyond us, and it is God. Who is this that comes to us and calls us out of death into life? St. Paul says of the Christians in Ephesus, you were at one time darkness, but now you are light because of Christ in you. You are light too. You too at one time were darkness, but then you were baptized. And God called you His child. You received His Holy Spirit. Christ and the Father dwelt within you from that moment on. You became light. Light because of Christ in you. God provides for us the means to receive the wonderful gifts He has given us by grace, through faith. We receive these means of salvation, these means of forgiveness, these means of assurance from the promise of God. When Jesus talked about eating His flesh and drinking His blood, He wasn't specifically at that moment talking about the sacrament of the altar. But He could have been alluding to it. And I think He was. Just as He did late at night one day when a disciple came to Him and asked Him, how can I be saved? And Jesus said, you must be born of water and the Spirit. Though He didn't say baptism, yet we know that that is what He was talking about. We know this because of Scripture itself and the references that Scripture makes towards these things. Baptism and what it does for you and for me. The Lord's Supper, what it does for you and for me. Jesus said to His disciples that whenever you do this, that is the Lord's Supper, you declare my death. We are reminded how our salvation came to be. Now certainly there are those who don't want Jesus, and the same was the case then. and they walked away. They went away from him because that was too hard to believe. Truly, we must have to assist God. We're the guilty ones after all. Shouldn't we be required to do some work too? And the answer is no. There is nothing for you to do. There, in fact, is nothing you can do. Now, you have heard the different sayings over the decades, things that sometimes made it into movies, sometimes in literature. You know, you do your part, God will do the rest. 50-50 kind of thing. You do half, God will do the rest of it. Or maybe God does part of it, now He expects you to do part of it. A lot of religions go with that idea. A lot of denominations in the church go with that idea. And yet it is the furthest thing from the truth. In fact, it leads people away from Christ. It leads them away from God when they speak that way. Because we cannot believe that and still be followers of Christ. When Jesus looked at His disciples, because they were having trouble with those words also, He said, are you going to leave as well? Is this too hard for you? And Peter speaks for them and makes that wonderful confession without putting his foot in his mouth this time. Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's what he says. You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus could have said again to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Peter, because it's not by flesh and blood you learn this, but from my Father. And since Peter was speaking for the 12 here in this place, we can say Jesus would say that to all of them. You have believed because the Father has led you to me. You did not choose me, Jesus said. I chose you. They heard the Father's voice. They heard the Scriptures. They studied the Word of God. They listened to Jesus. And they watched Him fulfill the signs of promise that this is the Messiah. They saw all these things and they had no doubt that He was the only one that had words of eternal life. Not to be found in anyone else. Not to be found in any great philosopher. Not to be found in any great ruler. Only in Jesus. This is where we come to. We come to hear Jesus. That's why we are here. We want to hear His words, because we know those words give us life. We have come to receive from Him the very body and blood that He gave for us on the cross, just as He had told the crowd, so that we could be with Him. He joins Himself to us in this way, as He joined Himself to us in baptism. But He does it to us again and again and again whenever we take hold of the sacrament. Here we declare the death of Christ to the world. Here we declare our sins have been forgiven. Not by our might or will, but by the will of God alone. This is what we have gathered for. And we cling to this against all the detractors of Jesus today. All those who would say that there is no God. To all those who would say you cannot know that Jesus is God. Maybe God showed Himself in different ways throughout history. To one group of people He showed Himself in this way, and another group of people He showed Himself this way. That, my friends, denies Christ. Because Christ said He is the only way. The only way. There are no other ways. We either receive the gift given to us freely without our work, that is, trying to impose our will into God's plan of salvation, or we don't receive it at all. We must come to God on His terms. And what is that? With broken, contrite hearts, humbly, with your hands open, not closed, but open, to receive from Him salvation. And He will never turn you away. He is the one, after all, who calls you and has brought you to this place to be believers of His Son. He will never turn you away. He will never cast you aside. Hang on to the truth that God's Word declares and do not doubt. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please remain standing for this hymn. It's not real long. You know it. It's hymn 712, Seek Ye First, and then we'll go into the prayers.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father, we thank You that You have sent the great Good Shepherd who has compassion on His flock. In His name we lift up our prayers for the family of God, for every nation, tribe, people, and language, and for all those who hunger for the true bread of life. Lord, in Your mercy, grant us always, O God, to work for the food that endures to eternal life. Bless the ministry of this congregation in our community, that many may embrace Jesus as the Christ and believe that He is the true bread of God who comes from heaven. Grant that we would never hunger or thirst for anything but Christ and His righteousness. Lord, in Your mercy. Grant true unity in place of disunity, harmony in place of disharmony, and peace in place of violence, that the spread of Your gospel may continue unhindered and the spirit of love abound. Lord, in Your mercy. By Your Holy Spirit, change our old nature into Your new creation in Christ. Enable us to cling to Your word and sacraments, that we may be put aside the cravings of our sinful flesh and be clothed with Your likeness in true righteousness and holiness. Lord, in Your mercy. Protect Your people, O Lord, from the impurities of this world. Save us from the violence outside ourselves and from hardness of heart within. By Your righteous governance, preserve and guide the leaders of our nation as they execute justice in our land. By Your Holy Spirit, change hardened hearts with the gospel, that true peace may be established. Lord, in Your mercy. Bestow Your power of healing upon the sick. Especially we lift up, O Lord, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Johnny Reuther, Jeff Schaffner, Edward Russell, Sue and Dean Sauberly, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Habman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knopf, and Brad Davis. That in accordance with Your will, they may give thanks to Your name. Give Your spirit of hope to the depressed, the lonely, and those who mourn the death of loved ones. Strengthen their faith and assure them of Your presence in all circumstances. Lord, in Your mercy. You continually feed Your people, Lord God, not with what we want, but with what we need. You give us bread and meat to nourish our bodies. You also feed our souls with the very body and blood of our Savior, the true manna from heaven. Give us gratitude for Your inestimable gifts and turn away all grumbling. Lord, in Your mercy. Within the fold of Your tender care, O Father, we entrust these petitions to You, that You might hear us, teach us Your word, and feed us with the bread of life, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in joy and peace. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore You that of Your mercy, You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.